The name of the sermon today is Pure Occasions. Pure Occasions. Recently we had a Bible study on 1 Timothy 5:14. There was a remarkable phrase within this verse that inspired this sermon I have for you today. Let's read that verse. 1 Timothy 5:14. We were going to have a Bible study last night on 1 Timothy 5:15, which is a very serious subject and goes right along with this one. And I think that God wanted this sermon to go out before that Bible study. So I think that's why the power went out. 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The phrase that caught both my eye and my imagination is give none occasion, as in give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. We are to give no occasion or opportunity for a negative act or event to take place. Interestingly, in this letter of Paul to Timothy, he gives us the way to accomplish this. Notice three verses elsewhere in the same letter, two of which we've already discussed in Bible study. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So pure heart, pure conscience, pure self. The purpose of my sermon today is to encourage all of us to avoid all negative situations and actions by continually and diligently striving for spiritual purity. So strive for spiritual purity. Today we are going to explore both concepts. First we will explore that phrase, give none occasion, and some actual biblical occasions in the scripture record, both positive and negative. We will then address the concept of having a pure heart, conscience, and self. In the Bible study on 1 Timothy 5:14, we went to the Jameson Fawcett Brown on the phrase, give none occasion. It reads literally, starting point. Handle of reproach through the loose conduct of nominal Christians. You and I would not generally say, give none occasion, but rather, give no occasion. Give it no starting point. Whatever the negative action or event is, do not allow the first step. For the last several years, I have likened our journey as walking down the path down the path of righteousness, and should we see some sort of temptation off to the right or left, some 100 yards, we are not to take even one step towards it. Easily, that first step could be while we're still on the righteous path. That is, that first step is a thought process. So you're on the path of righteousness, you see the temptation off 100 yards, and the first thing that's going to happen to you, you haven't left the path of righteousness, but the thought enters your mind, starts working on your mind. And if left alone, will conceive a plan of action to leave the path. We, in purity, are to avoid the first step. Paul is saying, don't give that thought or action a starting point. And if you know anything about church history, there have been a number of situations, even recently, in which people are doing just that. Let us go now to the John Gill commentary for one of the ultimate negative situations, one we must all avoid and is actually at the center of all positive, possible negative situations. So that we're going to look at what is at the center of all possible negative situations. For the phrase, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, that is, either that Satan, the grand adversary of the saints, might have no opportunity to reproach them and cast in their teeth their unbecoming walk. So Satan is casting into your teeth your unbecoming walk or accuse them before the throne, and that any enemy of the Christian religion might have no room or reason to speak evilly of Christ, his gospel, truths, and ordinances on account of the disorderly conversation of any that profess his name, or that the great opposer of Christ, the man of sin, the son of perdition, even Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, might have no trouble or no handle from hence to speak reproachfully of marriage and forbid it under a pretense of sanctity, as in 1 Timothy 4:3. In simple terms, you are being watched, and rather closely, I might add. Satan and his ilk are watching us night and day, looking for any opportunity to accuse us. Any reading of Job shows Satan is the great accuser. Do you think they only go after the named biblical servants of God? Turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. So Satan is the accuser of all the brethren, and he accuses us before God night and day. Do we now see the seriousness of give no occasion? Personally, I want angels talking to God about me in the positive and not Satan in the negative. Thank God and praise Almighty God for his Son, Jesus Christ, interceding on our behalf each time Satan opens his mouth against us. Remember 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now that we have established the great adversary, let us go on now to some other examples of negative occasions. Turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. The yoke being spoken of here is under the yoke of men in a state of servitude, under the government of masters, and in their service, being either apprentices to them, or bought with their money, or hired by them. This, therefore, applies to virtually everybody in this room. Whether it be your boss, your homeowners association, the police authority who pulls you over, or the rude person at the DMV, we want to be on our best behavior, that the name of God and our doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, surely sin is a great negative occasion, and we do not want to give place to sin. Notice one individual who sinned and how this was deemed rather negative. 2 Samuel 12:14. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 14. And this is after David's sins of adultery and murder with Bathsheba and Uriah. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now my referencing the sins of David is not an attack on David. It is a serious example and lesson for all of us who sin. This is why we are diligently going after purity. To the degree you put spirit-powered effort into your diligence towards pureness, the less often this type of negative occasion will manifest itself. Stop sin at the first step. When we sin, this is a negative situation. It's a negative occasion. But we repent, and that is among the best of occasions. This is why we repent, to destroy certain negative occasions. David repented. That fact declares that 2 Samuel 12:14 is a serious example requiring our fervency and zeal. So it's therefore our example, not to slam David. As first fruits, we can have positive or negative reports submitted. I just gave you an example of a negative occasion with David. Want to hear a good report of a positive occasion? One born out of striving for purity. Turn to Daniel 6 and verse 4. Daniel 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now this specific report is not stating that Daniel is somehow better than David. It is simply one of many possible reports about Daniel that happens to be a positive occasion he experienced. Clearly God wanted us to have a prime example of each. Both are profound and deeply serious. Notice the wording of Daniel 6:4. It says, for as much as he was faithful. The faithful first fruit is striving for purity. From our Bible studies, where we discuss Paul, we speak of those in and mostly outside the church who were after Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 11, we see them coming after him and attempting to disparage him for his refusal to receive compensation from the Corinthians. Paul's way of counteracting their attempts was by persisting in this refusal. Notice verse 12. So 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. So they were seeking an occasion to attack him, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Notice what is going on here from the commentary. For but what I do, the course of life which I have been pursuing, I will continue to pursue. That is, I will continue to preach as I have done without demanding a support. I will labor with my own hands if necessary. I will preach without demanding rigidly that I might be entitled to. For the phrase that I may cut off occasion, that I might give them no opportunity of accusing me, of desiring to grow rich and of culminating me. Paul meant that they should have no plausible pretext even for accusing him, that no man should be able to say that he was preaching merely for the hire. For the phrase with which desire occasion, no doubt his enemies eagerly sought opportunities of accusing him and greatly wished for some plausible reason for charging him with that which would be disgraceful or ruinous to his character. Or it may mean that they desired opportunity from the example of Paul to justify themselves in their course, that they took wages from the church at Corinth largely and desired to be able to say that they had his example for their doings there. Do you see what is going on here? Paul is going on with purity. In doing so, he is beating the negative occasion the enemies are bringing. He is actually exposing them. Purity, your continual journey towards purity, will beat the negative occasion virtually every time, according to the will of God. And I'm here to tell you that God creates purity in you to pound the negative occasions to dust. God is the author of our purity, and throughout His Word gives us instructions that, if embraced and invoked, will make us pure. Let's look at some of these instructions. Are you going to get some instructions in purity now? Turn to Romans 14 and verse 13. Romans 14 and verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The judgment here is the judgment of condemnation. Notice that right there in the verse, it shows you one kind of judging you shouldn't do and another kind of judgment you should do. It says, Therefore, judge not one another anymore, but judge this rather. So there's good judging and there's wrong judging. The judgment here is the judgment of condemnation, that first judgment you see in the verse. Purity would have us refraining from the wrong kind of judging, and therefore avoiding the negative event of putting a stumbling block or occasion to fall in our brother's way. So any time you're caught up in a negative occasion, that can be a stumbling block for your brother. With purity, nobody falls but the enemy. With purity, nobody falls but the enemy. I'm now going to give you an entire biblical chapter of instructions that will keep you from the negative occasions. Virtually everything I am about to read are instructions in righteousness and purity. These are instructions that, if carried out, will have you avoiding scores of negative occasions. Each is a piece of good advice because they are pure. And despite the fact that some of these instructions are going to be pointed at a certain group in the church, doesn't mean that you don't have a lesson there for everyone in the church, young and old. Titus 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Every verse an instruction. Titus 2, beginning in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing corruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Do you see where the enemies are trying to come in with blaspheme against you, God, Christ, and doctrine? That he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. So if you are of sound speech and following doctrine and seeking after purity, you're going to give them no grounds to do that. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to tell them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, what instructions did we just read together? I broke it out into boxes for you. So you see in the text, if you have that before you, a table where I break down each of the items we just spoke to. Let doctrine and truth be the basis of what you speak. To the aged, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, have love and patience. To the aged women, be likewise. Exhibit holiness. Do not be a false accuser, not given to much wine. Teach good things. Also to the aged women, teach young women to be sober, to love your husband, keep your children, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And in the word of God, be not that the word of God be not blasphemed. Also to the aged women, exhort young men to be sober-minded. In all things show a pattern of good works. In doctrine show uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Fact, sound speech cannot be condemned. People contrary to sound speech are left with nothing to say. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Please your masters. Do not argue with them. Do not steal. Show fidelity or faithfulness to promises and duties. Be linked to doctrine. Show that you are influenced by it. Invoke or demonstrate the principles of God. Put on Christ. Live by every word of God. The plan of God is to bring salvation to all men. God teaches us that we should deny or avoid ungodliness and worldly lusts. Avoid negative occasions. Live soberly, righteously, and godly as you remain a human on this planet. Look for the return of Christ and the future appearing of Almighty God. And I want to stop right there because I was thinking about that particular instruction. I was reminded of a person in the church at one time, no longer in the church, and this might be the reason why, but he actually stated in front of a number of other church people that he did not expect Christ to return in his lifetime. That is a negative occasion. He should not have said that. I don't care if Christ is not coming back for 10,000 years. I am to act as if he's coming back tomorrow. And the other thing you need to keep in mind, you could die today. And then Christ, even if he's not coming back for 10,000 years, is coming back tomorrow, as far as you're concerned. So it isn't about when Christ is coming back. It's about your attitude about when he's coming back and the fact that you could die at any moment. And the next second of your consciousness, he's back. And so it would be a very negative situation, and it would be a negative occasion to utter to anybody that they didn't think Christ was going to return. It says, look for the return of Christ. The way you look for the return of Christ is to act with urgency, to act with expectation that he's coming back tomorrow. And if you do, if you can live with that, if you can motivate yourself with the fact that he might be coming back tomorrow, and how many times have I thrown out the question, what would you do if I told you with great authority that Christ was coming back in 30 days? How would your life change? Would you change anything? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically? What if you got an answer to that, that there would be some changes, then make those changes. Because those are the changes that you need to make now, and not try to anticipate that Christ is never not coming back in any time soon. Continuing in the table here, understand that Christ gave himself for us. Understand that Christ is redeeming us from all iniquity, including all negative occasions. So God, through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is working to keep you from all negative occasions. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you in a negative occasion because it reflects back on God the Father, Christ, the Word of God, doctrine, which is one and the same thing. Back into the table here. Christ is purifying us unto his own self. Ministers, speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And that let no man despise thee is another negative occasion. Anytime we mess up is when we're going to get despised. So anytime we allow a negative occasion in our life is a time when we are letting man despise us. By what power do we strive for purity as we avoid and defeat negative occasions? When a negative occasion approaches, what should be my reaction? Let's look at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4 and verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody busybody in other men's matters. So verse 15 is showing, don't suffer, don't get into negative occasions as the murderer and the thief and the evildoer. Do you see the boldness here? No fear, no guilt, no confusion, and no wonderment about how to proceed. We are happy and we move ahead with the power of Almighty God, who wants us to win every time. Notice also, no suffering. There's no suffering in this. There's no suffering in stopping the negative occasion. It's the murderers, thieves, evildoers, and busybodies who suffer. Question: is there a scripture that speaks to our godly calling and how we should do nothing that makes for a negative occasion? Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5. Beginning of verse 13. It's the only verse I'm going to read in Galatians. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I looked at the Barnes Notes commentary to see what I could glean from the meaning here. For you have been called unto liberty, which means you are now free from man-made laws about God's law. You are free from false teachers who abridge and destroy that liberty. You are made free from the servitude of sin. For the phrase, only use not liberty, which means do not use your godly calling and this newfound freedom to give in to a false occasion, a negative occasion. Guard the doctrines from abuse at all times. Usually when a first fruit goes into a false occasion by his own power, he's trying to come up with some sort of justification. And that's why I say here, guard the doctrines from abuse at all times. Don't try to use the Word of God or some concept of God or something you gleaned from the Word of God as a justification for what will turn out to be a false occasion. We are free, but accountable to God, His Word, and His law. We are free from the power of sin, but we are not free to sin. This was a real problem in the first century church. Do not allow a doctrine or personal belief to be a justification for any negative occasion or event in your life. For the phrase an occasion, which means any indulgence to the flesh or any furtherance to help to corrupt passions, which is fancy wording for a negative occasion. And for the phrase to the flesh, which was often used by Paul in his writings to denote corrupt or gross passions and affections. So we are talking about the heart and the character of the first fruit. Notice two key scriptures, the first speaking to our inherent weakness and the second to why first fruits conquer that weakness. So the first one, speaking to our inherent weakness, Romans 7, 18. Romans 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So we know that. We acknowledge that. And we know that no good thing that is in our flesh will give rise to negative occasions. So we know that. We know that we have a proclivity to negative occasions. It's part of being human. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Later, Romans 8, 1. So in the same letter, Paul speaks again. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul is saying that there is no negative occasion in them who walk after the Spirit, which is to say, them who constantly invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. Every fruit of the Spirit that is invoked is a good occasion. So we are replacing and holding off the negative occasion by bringing in good occasions. So the more, and this is a process, we're not saying that if you're a first fruit, you're never going to have a negative occasion. What it is saying that a first fruit is in a process where he is going from lesser and lesser negative occasions and to a place of more and more good occasions, positive occasions. For the final phrase of Galatians 5:13, we have, but by love, serve one another. This is a key. This is a key phrase because it's showing you how to leave the negative occasions and get into good ones. But by love, serve one another. Let's see what that means. It points to one of the most profound concepts of why we are called to get focus off the self and use the power of God to serve and lift up one another. So a first fruit, when he is brought into the salvation process, starts getting focus off the self. Most negative occasions happen when a person is focusing on the self. If he can get into a situation where he's invoking the power of the Holy Spirit in the form of fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forgiveness, compassion, service, to mention a few, he is doing that for others. You don't generally invoke fruits of the Spirit just for the self. You're doing it for others. You're doing it for others, in your brothers in the church, and you're doing that for people in the world. That's how you spread the gospel. Every time you invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, you are spreading the gospel. You are giving occasion to others to say good about you. That's a good occasion. They can't find any evil to say against you, as with Daniel. Daniel was living by faith. He was diligently seeking after purity. Therefore, his enemies couldn't find anything say bad against him. We are doing the same thing every time we invoke. Every time you only have so much time on this planet. If you are spending the time that you do have on this planet in invoking the power of the Holy Spirit, by definition, you couldn't be in a negative situation. You can't. You can only do one thing at a time. And if you're doing something good, if you're promoting a good occasion, there can't be room there in that moment in time for a bad one. Notice 1 John 2:10. And as you're turning there, every time you lift up others using the power of God, that is a good occasion. 1 John 2:10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You see what that's saying? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. If you're abiding in the light, you are striving, by definition, for purity. You're walking the path of righteousness. Therefore, you're loving your brother. There's no way to walk the path of righteousness without lifting up others. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. There's none occasion. See that word occasion? Give no occasion to the negative. And it says here, if I'm abiding in the light, by definition, it's giving you the definition, there's no occasion of stumbling in you. Notice the commentary on the latter part of the verse, occasion of stumbling. Occasion of stumbling. The commentary says, the word used here means anything against which one strikes or stumbles, and then a stumbling block, an impediment, or anything which occasions a fall. Interesting wording. Then it is used in a moral or spiritual sense as denoting that which is the occasion of falling into sin. All of that from Barnes' notes. Again, as in Galatians 5:13, we see that invoking the Holy Spirit precludes us from negative occasions and leads us to positive or pure occasions. Let us finish this sermon today with some scripture admonitions to keep ourselves pure that we can add to the three from 1 Timothy I gave you at the beginning of this sermon. Let us begin with a prayer by Jesus for you. A prayer that you be kept from negative occasions. John 17. John 17, verses 14 and 15. John 17, beginning in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. If we are being kept from the evil, there's no room for negative occasion in us. What more important thing can I say to you than God is on your side to help you avoid negative occasions? Jesus Christ prayed that prayer to the Father. Keep them from the negative occasions. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you avoid the negative occasions. You are transformed into positive occasions by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So avoid the traps of the world and you avoid bad occasions. Transform and constantly renew your mind and you will experience more and more positive occasions. Know the will of God and you will make good decisions as He does, and thus have positive occasions. We've been talking about this. God does everything after the counsel of His own good will. What is the result of Him doing that? What is the result of God doing everything after the counsel of His own good will? Well, we know that in His good will is perfection. He is the apex of purity. Therefore, everything in His decision box is pure. Therefore, He does everything after the counsel of His own good will, which is pureness. We are to be like that. We are in the transforming and the renewing, constant renewing of our mind. We're constantly looking into that box. We're looking at how does God do that? However He does that, and it's all in the Word of God, how He does it. If you want to know what's in His, and I liken it to a box for lack of a better description, whatever is in His counsel of His will box, those pure things that results in good decisions, we want our box to have the same contents. We are to become like Him. The more that we start doing everything after the counsel of our own goodwill, which is a copy of God's, then we are going to be staved off from negative occasions. Does God ever get into a negative occasion? No, He goes about eternity stopping them. The primary way Jesus delivers us from negative occasions is to lead us in purity, which is the will of the Father. So it's the will of Almighty God to keep you from negative occasions. That should give you boldness in the process, lifelong process, of going from negative occasions to positive occasions. So if you could look at your timeline in the salvation process, and underneath that timeline was the number of negative occasions and the number of positive occasions, the number of negative occasions is getting less. It was more, becoming less, and the positive occasions were less, now becoming more. That's what you're doing in the salvation process. Everything you do is about positive or negative occasions. Colossians 3. Negative occasions originate on earth. Purity and positive occasions originate in heaven. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. The affection on things above, those are all positive occasions. The things on earth are mostly negative occasions. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Purity comes from setting your affections on things above. Verse 2 says, don't set your affections on things on earth. Let us see that as a purposeful command. So I'm going to give you a verse that is going to say the same thing, but only couched as a purposeful command. Notice what is true if we do not heed the command. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 15 through 17. So what we saw there in Colossians 3 was a fact of life. If you be risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above. So that's a statement of fact about first fruits. Now the command for that. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Negative occasions are not of the Father. But the world passes away and the lust thereof, so all negative occasions are going away. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God is that you do more and more and more positive occasions. If you do that, you'll abide forever. Abiding forever is the most positive occasion I can think of. How about you? Experience and invoke positive occasions, and you will be doing it forever and ever. Seeking purity will get you to every good occasion. Let me say that again. Seeking purity, that's a process, that's a lifelong process of you seeking purity. Finding all of the purity and righteousness, and we have a whole Bible study up on how to instructions in righteousness. If you're seeking after righteousness and purity, one and the same thing, you will get you to every good occasion. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, just a few pages over. Going to read verses 4 and 5. So 1 John 5, beginning verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And I might add, that believeth that Jesus, the Son of God, is coming back shortly, as in tomorrow. That is to be our attitude. I want attitudes out there that say, Christ is coming back tomorrow. I must act in all urgency. Because only by believing that Christ is coming back and not believing that his coming back is a way off, or as that one individual said, he's not coming back in my lifetime. I said, what kind of thinking is that? If I would have been there in his presence when he said that, I would have said, you keep saying that and it'll be true for you. He'll never come back in your lifetime because you'll probably be dead. One way or the other, spiritually or physically. You are born of God, and your faith, life in the salvation process, will see you to victory. 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. What does that mean, the wicked one touches him not? Well, first of all, he's got to stay at bay. But the second thing is, part of that touching not is, he's not standing up there before the throne of God bringing, you know, a negative report about you. The message of the verse is clear. Keepeth yourself in purity. Those diligently seeking purity have hope of eternal life, and that hope is a driving force to get you to purity. So those diligently seeking purity have a hope. There's a hope there. If you're seeking after purity, you have hope. If you have hope of eternal life, that should be the driving force to keep you diligently seeking purity. It's a win-win either way. Whether you want to start with the hope of eternal life or the diligently seeking purity, you cannot diligently seek purity without having hope of eternal life. Because the whole thing of seeking purity is based on the promise of eternal life. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. So 1 John 3, beginning in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So get out there. Avoid negative occasions. Experience positive occasions and be pure as he is pure.